Where in the world has Phil the Ram been? You may have noticed that the university's lovably tough mascot has not been on the sidelines, in the gyms, on the fields for a good long while. Well, that's about to change. We've long known just how dependable Phil is. After all, he's your typical born and bred Philadelphian who can't stop bragging about how much he loves his people and he loves this city. On Tuesday, March 5th, Phil will reemerge from what's been a challenging few months for our beloved horned sheep. In advance of a pep rally for the playoff-bound women's and men's basketball teams, Phil finally said that we're allowed to tell everybody the story behind his campus absence. Because, in his words, it speaks to the loyalty and commitment of a university community rallying for one of its own in his greatest time of need. In typical Phil fashion, he wanted to make sure his mascotry predecessors got their shoutouts. So let's start with the history before we get into why the next time you see Phil, the first thing you'll likely notice is his new bionic horn.
Yep, you heard right. A bionic horn created right here at the university.
Per historical lore, Phil's tale starts in February 1958, when the university was known as Philadelphia Textile Institute, and its sports teams were known as the Knitters.
John Steen, the official scorekeeper for Textiles basketball teams at the time, overheard opposing cheerleaders from St. Joseph's laughingly chanting, "Knit 1, Pearl 2, Textile, yoo-hoo." Steen was taken aback by this laughter, and feeling that his shame would never die, he reported back to Dr. Bertrand Hayward, the university's then president. In that meeting, Steen's suggestion that they become the Rams, a tougher mascot, took hold. The rest, as they say, is a history which weaves its way through various iterations of the Ram mascot. Some Phils were akin to creepy Easter Bunny photos, including, nay, especially, the one with human hands. Still, the one tendril consistent throughout the subsequent decades is how Phil brought passion, energy, enthusiasm, and more to teams at Textile, Philadelphia University, and Thomas Jefferson University. The names may have changed, but Phil's passion most assuredly did not.
In this episode of the Nexus podcast, we've been greenlit to share the story, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, of how all that enthusiasm nearly came to an end over on the steep Ronson sledding hill. That's something Phil learned the hard way after the region's snow drought came to an end, a challenging predicament which would reaffirm his love for a university's collaborative spirit as his extended family came together in his time of need.
Let's start with the first responders on that fateful day.
Hi, my name is Steph Karp. I'm the Director of Public Safety for Thomas Jefferson University.
So what can you tell me about that awful day when Phil got injured sledding at Ravenhill?
We began receiving calls from worried Jefferson students who had witnessed Phil have a sledding accident on the Ravenhill campus snow-covered hill. Our patrol officers immediately responded to the scene and found Phil, who was conscious, but clearly a little shaken up. He knew that something had happened to his horn, but not the severity. We immediately loaded him onto a sled and transported him to the soccer field, where a Jeffstat helicopter was waiting to rush him to our hospital in Center City.
Looking back, how does your staff feel about how their quick reactions helped start Phil on the path to his recovery from those injuries?
Thanks to the quick-thinking students who alerted us and our patrol officers rushing to the scene, Phil was able to get the attention he needed quickly. I cannot imagine how different things could have been if we did not find out about it as fast as we did. It was a truly cold day. Knowing what I know about the Jefferson spirit, not to mention Phil's positive outlook, there was no question that his healing journey would be guided by able hands. We did advise Phil, however, that in the future, he needs to be much more careful while sledding, for his safety and the safety of those around him. He promised us he would be.
While we would advise Phil not to try sledding at Ravenhill ever again, who knows if he'd even listen, this is around the time when teamwork started making the proverbial dream work.
For it was then that teams of occupational and physical therapists got to work helping Phil get stronger, while a team of industrial design experts embarked on a mission to replace the Ram's damaged horn with a bionic one that most assuredly will become Phil's calling card. Let's start with his physical recovery.
Hi, my name is Dr. Amanda Parizo. I'm an occupational therapist. I'm faculty at Thomas Jefferson University and worked one-on-one with Phil as his occupational therapist at Jefferson.
What was he like?
He was so much fun to work with. He really was so excited to get started and jump into rehab with me.
Early on, did it take any work to get him inspired to start his road to recovery? Because I'm sure it wasn't easy for him the first couple weeks.
That's with anybody. They're very apprehensive about what's going on, especially if they've never been in a hospital setting before and never had rehab before. Everybody thinks occupational therapists help you get a job. So immediately Phil said, "Are you going to help me get a job?" And I said, "No, Phil, we're going to get you rehabbed and we're going to get you back to doing the things that you enjoy doing and love and need to do every day, your basic skills."
I'm sure you don't have many patients with prosthetic horns in the course of regular business, but how is it similar to getting him used to his new horn and other patients getting acclimated to their prosthetics?
So Phil, he was a little bit different of a patient than I'm used to working with. Occupational therapists do play a crucial role in helping clients like Phil adjust to using a prosthetic device. The process typically involves a couple of different stages, including pre-prosthetic training, prosthetic training, and ongoing support. That ongoing support comes from us as occupational therapists to help train clients like Phil to progress in their rehab journey and also support from his community, his friends, his family.
What do you remember of the steps in his occupational therapy process?
The process of transitioning from hospital to going back home for Phil involves a couple of steps, including the prosthetic training, like I described, to going to acute rehab, where at Moss McGee in the rehab hospital, he gets daily PT OT for several hours. He could really learn to do his daily living skills and get used to maintaining his prosthetic horn while he's at the rehab hospital. That's the typical steps that anybody would take before going home.
The relationship is patient caregiver, but what is it like for you personally to see him now at a point where he's about to get back to business and become the Phil of old?
What's great was fostering a positive mindset for him because prior to this accident, we all know that he is a huge cheerleader for Thomas Jefferson University. By promoting that strength of his and helping him have those inspirational quotes, inspirational words that he's so used to himself cheering other people on, as an OT, I was cheering him on to help him maintain that positive mindset. That's a really important thing for patients and getting him back into his old self, his old personality. Something that was really important to him that as occupational therapists we would do is getting him back into being comfortable going back into the different venues, the different facilities, getting around the community and feeling comfortable with his prosthesis and being out in public, getting comfortable going to the grocery store, going to a stadium, or going to the Center City campus, just navigating that and helping him gain some strategies while working on his return to his daily life.
That return to daily life will now include everybody knowing that he has a bionic horn, something that was made possible by the diligent work of a team within the Canbar College of Design, Engineering, and Commerce's Industrial Design Program.
I'm Todd Corlett. I direct the industrial design programs at Jefferson. I've been here for more than 20 years, and now I teach in the master's program in industrial design. One of the things that we do in that program is we have a studio collaboration with the occupational therapy doctorate program.
We're talking today because of the role your team had in helping get Phil the Ram back up on his feet, and that involved the creation of a prosthetic horn, a bionic horn. What can you tell me about that process and what goes into creating prosthetics from an industrial design standpoint?
It was a great opportunity for us because one of the things that we really emphasize with our students is putting yourselves in the shoes or in the footsteps of people who aren't you, trying to learn the needs of users who are different from students that might be doing the design. Clearly, Phil the Ram is very different from the students who are doing the work. There are a lot of things that you need to keep in mind when designing prosthetics or assistive devices, and only a little of that really has to do with the technical functionality of it. Obviously, it has to be biocompatible with the horn. It's got to take into account the standard growth cycle that a creature Phil is going to be encountering. But on the other hand, there are a lot of social aspects to it as well. One of the things that we really kept in mind when we were going into this is we didn't want this to look like a medical device. We didn't want it to look like necessarily a repair to something that had been broken. But on the other hand, we knew that it was always going to be asymmetrical. It was always going to make Phil a little different. What the occupational therapy students and the design students and I, we got together and we did some brainstorming. We came up with this idea that it should really be something that instead of trying to hide it, which was one of the initial ideas that we came up with, we felt like that would end up in some sort of uncanny valley where it'd draw attention to itself through trying to blend in. We decided to turn it around, and because Phil is, of course, a public figure and a performer, we decided to make this something that Phil could show off, something that had an aspect that was more like jewelry. That's why we came up with the high-tech carbon fiber material and what I think is a really beautiful shine. It's clearly different from Phil's other horn, but on the other hand, we think it's something beautiful, something that will be his calling card going forward.
What was he like to work with?
Oh, he was great. He was great. Obviously, he's used to dealing with the public, used to getting out there. It was interesting just meeting him in the days after the accident. You don't think of him as being as vulnerable as he is, but really a quiet guy when you get to know him. Maybe a lot of that was the fact that he was at a pretty vulnerable time in his life. But I think he's really happy with what we came up with. And I think he's ready to step back out of the shadows and move forward with his life. And we're really proud of him.
How rewarding was it for industrial design students to be involved in an effort like this?
It was something quick. I mean, it wasn't part of the original structure of our semester, but we really stress that that's part of professionalism in occupational therapy or industrial design is responding to needs whenever they come at you. We were really fortunate that the students were ready to step up, work quickly, figure out the prototyping, and get this to fill in time for the launch.
With that bionic horn, Phil was sent back out into the world to prepare for his big return to the university stage. We spoke with a longtime friend about what that may mean for him.
Hi, I'm Sean McGuire. I work in student engagement. I do campus reservations, and I am the office coordinator.
I understand that you were friends with Phil back in the day. What can you tell me about Phil and your time with him?
I am from the class of 2015. My last 2 years, Phil and I got to be best friends. We would always do involvement fairs and club meetings, pop-up things. We did Ram Jam together. We were best friends at Ram Jam. That was super cool.
What was your reaction to hearing he had that little sledding mishap?
It's crazy. We lost contact after college, after 2015 or so. That's almost my backyard. I live two blocks right behind there. Like, hear that a good friend of mine had such a serious accident. It was a shock. I wanted to make sure, check in, he was okay, but it sounds like he's on the mend, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
What do you think he's going to be like with this new bionic horn? I wonder if he's going to change at all or if he's going to be the same old Phil.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. People get these new vanity upgrades, as we like to call them. Sometimes they let them get to their head. But I know Phil as his former best friend, and I think he'll stay down to earth and stay humble, especially in a big year for Jefferson.
Phil was most sorely missed by student athletes, their coaches, and fans of those teams. Well, that's about to change, and the athletics community could not be happier about it.
This is Tom Shirley. I'm the assistant vice president for athletics and the head coach for the women's basketball team. I arrived on campus at Philadelphia Textile in 1989 and have been here for now 34 years.
What can you tell me about the history of mascots throughout your time here?
There was a variety of mascots through the years. I believe it was around 1969 that they formally became known as the Rams, moving away from the knitting jokes and the weaving jokes and settled on a solid, rough animal, the Rams. So that was great. It's really a university-wide mascot. It gets used for admissions, it gets used for parties, it gets used for presentations and galas, and of course for athletic events. So it's not something that's strictly athletics, although it is our rallying cry that we are the Rams, and we do have the Ram come and attend the game. So it's been well received over the years, and we're looking forward to the rebirth. For us, it's our identity in athletics. We are the Rams. If you say the Rams on the street, most people know that's us. So I think our student athletes really enjoy that. anytime there's a visual presence of the Ram, it's a special event. I think there'll be a buzz. The mascot was missed. The first thing we're going to have to do is sit Phil down and explain to him what we explain to our athletes. If you're going to be part of the team, you can't take chances. You can't be sledding. You can't be doing anything that get on a motorcycle. You got to calm down and you got to be healthy so you can support our teams. There's been a void. It's been missed. The people that come to our athletic events will be glad to see Phil back.
He'll be returning at a pep rally for your women's basketball team on the cusp of the playoffs. What is the outlook for them going forward?
I think it would be a critical time for us because last year we got into the conference tournament and we got upset in the first round. Some might say that's because Phil wasn't around. If Phil had been here, maybe we'd have gotten further. All hands on deck when it comes time to the playoffs. So great timing for Phil to return.
Now that we all know why Phil's been gone, the battles he went through to return, and how the Jefferson community helped him to do so, it's time to put all of this into its proper Philadelphia mascot context. To that end, we went to the godfather of the field to discuss Phil's return.
Hi, I'm Dave Raymond. People would know me as the original best friend of the Fanatic, the beloved mascot for the Philadelphia Phillies. The Fanatic and I still have this wonderful relationship. I helped him overcome some of the toughest fans in sports, and he's always been appreciative of that. And I'm proud to look at him and see him now, 45 years later, still unifying the city of Philadelphia. He not only has overcome a difficult fan base, but they've fallen in love with him. To say that I'm proud of the Fanatic is like saying that I love my children. That's what I'm known for the best, but at the heart of all of this, I'm somebody who loves the power of distracting fun, which is what all mascots do.
Sure, Phil faced a different kind of struggle than the Philly Fanatic, but that doesn't stop Dave from enthusiastically appreciating his return.
I love watching these characters perform, and to be able to be connected to Thomas Jefferson University and Phil the Ram has been a real joyful time for me. Like everything in life, there are struggles and challenges, and Phil has been the embodiment of being a whole and complete ram to suddenly losing one of his horns. Can you imagine what that's like for a ram? That's what they identify as. This is how they compete. This is how they assert some dominance over somebody to show their strength. And suddenly he was without that. The beauty of this story is not necessarily just Phil overcoming the challenge, but the university and the skilled and talented people who have created prosthetics for humans that needed their support and help. They've come right back home and made Phil whole again. So one, he's overcome a life challenge, but two, he's formed a bond with the university that wasn't there before.
In a way, Dave thinks that Phil's battle has brought him closer than ever before to the university itself.
Maybe he discounted the great work that the university has done, but that's not happened anymore. He's also been connected to the student body, but now he's connected to the university and the great things that they do. I think it's a story of overcoming, but it's a story of understanding the value of friends and family who are going to support you. And then he's beautiful, man. I love the Terminator horn that he's been given. While some people might be a little shy about that, Phil's like, look at this new horn I've got. It's amazing. And he's so grateful that he has this connection already with the university, but now it's a bond that's formed with the superpower of overcoming.
Mascots in general, how are they created? How do they come to be an integral part of a community like Phil is doing with Jefferson? Dave puts it into the non-fictional perspective.
When I started in this business 45 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. The Phillies really didn't know what they're doing, other than the fact that Bill Giles believed in the force of fun. That was central to everything that he did, and that was his communication to me, was when he realized I was nervous, putting a costume. I said, what do you want me to do? You just told me I'm going to show up. What am I doing? And he said, go have fun. And that's always been an important thing for me. The beauty of the foundation of fun that you build, so that you value fun, and then you realize this fun can be serious fun.
Mascots like the Philly Fanatic aren't always confined to the fields and courts of competition, he says. In fact, it's good to let them go out well beyond that.
The Fanatic did funerals. And you go, what? Yeah, we did so many that we said the Fanatic put the F-U-N in funerals. And we said that because when we would go to the funerals, it would be the moment when everybody's celebrating. And this was a big Phillies fan. And we recognized when we started doing those that, hey, we could walk into a hospital room. which we were doing. And there's the brutality of life is going on in that room, but when you showed up there, there was a celebration. This can do amazing things, your character, born by the value of serious fun and realizing that it's impactful. You're not a clown. You're representing a brand that can step into a room and make everybody feel better no matter what's going on. So that's the beauty of doing it right.
And how does that apply to Jefferson?
In the case of Phil, Phil was Phil the Ram before, but they wanted to regenerate who he was and redesign him so that he could be born again. So we started with the story. And after we talked about the history of Thomas Jefferson University, the merger and all the iterations it's gone through, when they started talking about this hill that people sledded on that was crazy to go sledding on that hill, but Phil was going to do it to show everybody that he could survive it. And that's where he breaks his horn. And it was all done with, when we did this storytelling, was that the wonderful work that that part of the university does where they build these prosthetic limbs. Wouldn't it make sense to say that Phil was is part of this community and they saved him? And that's just got great ligaments and literally and figuratively great ligaments and connections to what this university does. What's the beauty of it? And what maybe people outside don't know. Because many people go, what's with the horn? And then you can tell them the story. Oh, I didn't know. Oh yeah, Thomas Jefferson Hospital. Oh, and that's what they do. It's a great way to communicate bigger picture things. By the way, not everybody does this. The Flyers did it. The Phillies did it. I think in part the Eagles have done it. This city has pressured all the organizations, including the union, to create a character that has a story to tell.
Is that a unique to Philadelphia thing?
I think it is in part. The work I do was the incubator of what the Phillies did. First, just, hey, let's do something different, to really understanding that they needed a backstory. So the Fanatic didn't have a backstory when it was first born. We created it because I kept coming from appearances going, people keep asking me what I am, and I don't know what I am. And I said out loud, I look like a Darwin experiment gone bad. And everybody jumped on that and built the story that he was from the Galapagos Islands. And now it makes sense and it fits. He was coming to a place for acceptance, of course, the city of brotherly love. There's a little wink and a nudge when you say that because of our reputation outside of here. And it just all fit. And Disney has done this. And Henson did all this. You're going to care about the characters. And that's the work you have to do. And that's what I loved about what Thomas Jefferson did, was they brought me and said, no, tell him. We're ready to change everything. Let's do it right. And then now I see Phil in full form now. It's really wonderful.
We've touched on why Phil's been on the shelf recuperating and regenerating, and the importance of mascots insofar as bolstering school spirit. Now it's time to talk about what that means specifically for Jefferson and the Rams. For that, we turn to Dr. Susan Aldridge, the university's interim president.
The entire Jefferson family has rallied to support Phil in his time of need. We're thrilled that he's back. Phil represents strength and resilience. We are absolutely thrilled that Phil is bringing this great energy that he brings to us and to all of our teams. For all of the teams that have really supported his recovery and bringing him back to great health, he can really serve as a champion and an ambassador for us. We're so excited about this playoff season. We're excited about the pep rally to cheer him on and welcome him back in great strength and health. He's going to lead us forward. Phil is going to be front and center cheering us on.
To learn more about this and other Jefferson stories, please visit jefferson.edu/thenexus. Today's interviews were conducted by Brian Hickey with production support from Dan Bernstein. Thank you for listening.